Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, you can always go to the app to leave a voicemail message at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. I'm a bit annoyed today. And I'm a bit annoyed because I don't like when stuff that's relatively ordinary for players suddenly is so apoplectic about coaches, we don't know what to do with ourselves. And maybe that's not the right word to use, but damn it, I'm using it. The fact of the matter is, when I think about John Harbaugh losing his job as coach for the Baltimore Ravens, listen, I'm not happy the man's got fired. I got used to seeing John Harbaugh in Baltimore over these last 18 years. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's won over 60% of his games in his career. I think his record was like 180 and 113. He's been to AFC championship games. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. 18 full seasons as a head coach. Super Bowl champion. Postseason record. 6 AFC North titles. 12 playoff appearances. Coach of the year in 2019. Most road playoff wins ever with 8. I know who this man is. And I know that he deserves our profound respect. And no, sure, we shouldn't be looking at him like, oh, my God, his career is over. And I get that part. But why are we acting like we're surprised that he's gone? He hasn't won a Super Bowl in 13 years. Lamar Jackson has been his coach, has been his quarterback for 7 full seasons. In those 7 full seasons that Lamar Jackson was his quarterback from 2019 through this season, all right? And also remember, Lamar Jackson made 7 starts as a rookie. Let's not forget that. Baltimore had an NFL-high 26 different Pro Bowl players. Lamar Jackson won the league MVP twice. They were tied for 4th most in the NFL with 76 regular season wins. The 3 AFC North titles in the 7-year span. When you talk about playoff exits, 3-5 in the postseason for Lamar Jackson, by the way. 1 AFC title game appearance, no Super Bowls. 4 of the playoff exits came against Josh Allen, twice Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. I ask a simple question. When we're thinking about John Harbaugh, do you believe that he deserved to be gone? Do you believe it should be automatic that a team should be kicking down his door to make sure they have him? It's a legitimate question right now that has to be asked. Again, profound respect. This is not somebody that should be on the unemployment line for years to come. This is not somebody that forgot how to coach in the National Football League. I understand who we're talking about. I do. But I know if it were Mike Tomlin, we'd be having discussions. So we're going to have a discussion about John Harbaugh. We're looking at the NFL head coaching vacancies right now. Arizona, Atlanta, Baltimore, Cleveland, Vegas, New York, Tennessee. That's 7. According to our very own Adam Schefter, my colleague in my day job at ESPN, the absolute best in the business as an NFL insider, Adam Schefter put out a tweet this morning, if I remember correctly. Here it is. In the first 45 minutes after John Harbaugh was fired this afternoon, which is yesterday, his agent, Brian Harlan, said he received calls from 7 different NFL teams expressing interest in his client. There currently are 7 NFL head coach openings, including Baltimore's. As of this morning, we were told it's 8 teams, which means at least 2 of them got head coaches already. Look, y'all, John Harbaugh can coach. But here's the point. And we got to have a conversation. And we're going to have a conversation today over this show on the airwaves of Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel 82. We're going to have a real interesting discussion because I ain't doggy. I'm not him. And he ain't me. We come from 2 different worlds. About the only thing we have in common is that we're loud. But that brother right there and some of the things that he says, don't think for 1 second that doggy ain't going to bring up George Halas and Vince Lombardi and Johnny Unitas and people like that. Damn it, that was before, right when I was born. That's how doggy rolls. I'm more of a current modern day kind of dude. And when I think about the current modern day atmosphere that exists, we got to have a legitimate discussion. And by the way, I'm going to streamline calls. I'm tired of y'all listening to me call and listen to me and converse about certain things. And then y'all call up to the show and y'all want to address that. But three different other damn things that you wanted to get off your chest. This is a daily show. I'm not going any damn where. You're not going to call up on this show and stay on the line talking about stuff that I'm not even talking about. I'm going to cut that cord instantly. Let's stick to what I'm talking about and make sure that when you call or opine, you're giving me opinions about the subject matter at hand. I'm going to hang up on your ass. That's how I'm rolling. Because I'm getting really, really sick of these conversations and not hitting home to a lot of people. We talk about players all day, every day. Your time is up. You had your run. It was nice. But it's time for a new era, a new voice, a new this, a new that. Excuse me, how come we can't do that with coaches? When Don Shula got fired, I didn't have a problem with that. Or he decided to part ways. When Jimmy Johnson decided, I'm going to step away, I didn't have a problem with that. When Jerry Jones came on board in Dallas and decided to let go of Tom Landry, I didn't have a problem with that. When the Steelers and Chuck Noll had reached its end and they decided it was time for somebody new like Bill Cowher, I didn't have a problem with that. But when you're talking about Pete Carroll, this is a two-time national champion. This is a Super Bowl champion. And yes, it was unforgivable trying to throw the ball at the half-yard line, let your offensive coordinator call such a ridiculous boneheaded play and getting intercepted and blowing the Super Bowl championship against the New England Patriots. Well, all you had to do was give it to the man that got you down to the half-yard line in beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. But that's a different story for another day. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. Pete Carroll has been great. Pete Carroll has been great for the game. Pete Carroll's 74 years old, approaching 75. At some point, damn it, it's just your time. It's just your time. And we got to be real and authentic with that. And we got to be okay with it. And it can't be something that phases us, but so much. When we talk about John Harbaugh, you've had Lamar Jackson for 7 years. You've had Derrick Henry for the last couple of years. Bateman's not a scrub. Zay Flowers is not a scrub. Mark Andrews is not a scrub. Isaiah Likely is not a scrub. You got an offensive line that knows how to protect its quarterback. Until recently, you had a defense you could hang your hat on. We're sitting up here talking about doors being kicked down to get John Harbaugh. The last time John Harbaugh was in a Super Bowl, Ray Lewis was playing for him. And Ed Reed. And the quarterback that they had at their disposal was Joe Flacco when the lights went out in New Orleans and the Super Bowl was delayed. And the other thing we got to pay attention to is who was the quarterback that was going against you? That was Colin Kaepernick. This is 2012, y'all. I mean, come on. Come on. Why are we sitting up here tripping? Like, yo, John Harbaugh's a damn good coach. When does the time arrive when we're able to say, it's time for somebody new? It's time for somebody new. We got to get to that point. We got to get to that point. John Harbaugh, why is it a must? Why would he be at the top of the list of candidates? I'm not saying he shouldn't get a head coaching job. I'm not saying he can't coach. I'm not saying for the most part, he didn't do a good job. They won 12 games last year. They won 13 games the year before. 3 years in a row, you can't get over the hump. Zay Flowers fumbling at the goal line against Kansas City. Mark Andrews dropping a two-point conversion against Buffalo. And now this guy, Tyler Loop, misses the field goal, a gimme for 44 yards when the brother didn't miss a field goal 50 yards or less all season long. But here's the flip side. Wasn't he a rookie? Didn't you anticipate having to go against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or potentially a playoff berth since everybody was picking y'all as potential, making a potential Super Bowl run? What the hell are you doing relying on a rookie? You should know better. We got to ask these questions. You got Kevin Stefanski out there. And you got a lot of people. I don't have no problem. Kevin Stefanski is a two-time coach of the year. The man knows football. He can coach. And he should get another job. But how are we going to sit up there and say, he's got to get the Giants job? I mean, to have Jackson Dart. When has Kevin Stefanski showed you he can work with a quarterback? He's had 13 different quarterbacks since he was in his 6 years in Cleveland. 13. 11 over the last 4 years. Baker Mayfield was there with him. That didn't work out. Worked out in Tampa. Even though that's not a great example, considering how Tampa Bay looked the last 9 weeks of this season. Jacoby Brissett looked decent. Looked better than anybody else they had. Deshaun Watson. I understand that's not Kevin Stefanski's fault, because we all know off-field transgressions, or a better word would be for it would be proclivities, because this brother had an addiction to masseuse. A bunch of masseuse. I mean, Deshaun Watson's a special case. I got that part. That would explain why he didn't look the way that he looked in Houston. What it doesn't explain is, how could you look that damn bad in Cleveland? I mean, my God. Deshaun Watson spent time looking like he didn't know how to play football. And there was once upon a time we were debating, is this brother going to catch Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the National Football League? This is when he was in Houston. We talk about Kevin Stefanski. What's up? I'm supposed to automatically assume he's going to work with Jackson Dart. And by the way, how long is Jackson Dart going to last? Had five times in concussion protocol as a rookie. How long am I going to be able to rely on him? Then we're talking about people, and listen, whether it's the number two pick needing to want to go to the New York Jets, or whether it's a coach needing to want to take over the Jets because of the available assets they have at their disposal with a multitude of draft picks or whatever. As long as Woody Johnson's there, I wouldn't want the job. I wouldn't want the job as a coach, and I wouldn't want the job as a player playing for the New York Jets. They are an atrocity. They are awful. I heard my man Doggy today on First Take in his Mad Dog, What Are You Mad About segment, complaining about Tom Brady and how he's a minority owner. And this guy is in the booth calling games 1 minute and picking the quarterback of the Raiders the next. Well, who the hell else is supposed to pick the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders? This is Tom Brady we're talking about here. This is a seven-time champion. This is a seven-time champion. He needs both hands to carry the rings that he has won. Why would somebody else be making a pick? I don't care about any other position. Let somebody else, let your GM and whoever else there is with Mark Davis in Vegas make the picks for every other position. But when you're talking about the number one overall pick, whether it's going to be Mendoza out of Indiana or Moore out of Oregon or somebody else, if Chandler somehow doesn't get to go back to Ole Miss and the NCAA gets in the way of that, and because of that he decides to go to pro, what you going to do with that? Who the hell should make that decision other than Tom Brady? A matter of fact, if somebody in Vegas is allowed to make the pick other than Tom Brady, there should be protest outside of Reliance Stadium getting Mark Davis the hell up out of there as an owner. Tom Brady got to make that call. That's his call. He got to make it. There's nobody, in my opinion, more qualified to pick a quarterback with the number one overall pick than Tom Brady right now. You got to let him make that pick. That one pick. You've been already on it. What the hell I got you here for? If I can't trust you to pick the quarterback of the future for the Las Vegas Raiders, I don't need to have Tom Brady involved at all. This is his lane, picking that quarterback. These are all things that are worth discussing. I don't want y'all calling up here with a whole bunch of issues. I'm going to hang up on y'all. I'm telling you. I ain't got time for that. There's a paywall with serious things. I don't give a damn. Stay on point. I'm talking football, people calling up here, calling me about the Sixers. What the hell's going to be next? Talking cricket in England? I don't want to hear it. I got stuff on my mind. Stay focused. Because this stuff, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. By the way, as an aside, and of course I'm going to be open to NFL playoffs because that's what we're talking about here. You know, one of the things that everybody's asking right now is there anybody that could beat Seattle in the playoffs on their home turf? It's two teams. It's the Rams and the Eagles. I don't think Chicago can do it. I don't think Green Bay can do it. I don't think Carolina can do it. I don't think San Francisco can do it. We damn sure can't pick San Francisco after the beatdown they suffered in Seattle a week ago. No, we can't do that. But can the Los Angeles Rams beat Seattle in Seattle? Yes. Can the Philadelphia Eagles, the reigning defending Super Bowl champions, with a stout defense led by Vic Fangio, with an offense filled with dudes that won the Super Bowl last year, and Hurts and Barkley and Brown and Devontae Smith and Goddard and that offensive line, even without Lane Johnson? Yes, they can. Be tougher for them than it would be for the Los Angeles Rams. I'd favor the Rams over the Eagles to be able to go in Seattle and win. But I'm telling you right now, it's not a gimme that they can win, especially with Sam Darnold as your quarterback, who's got some stuff to prove, because last time we saw him, not the last time, but earlier in the season against Los Angeles, when he threw 4 interceptions. These are the playoffs. Sam Darnold is capable of nosediving. Yes, he is. Will he? I don't think so. And I'm a big fan of McDonald as the coach. That man can coach, and he's done a hell of a job in Seattle. And Seattle right now got a chance. I would never have put them as the favorites, especially with Sam Darnold as their quarterback, even though he's won more games than anybody as a starting quarterback in the National Football League over the last 2 seasons. But in the same breath, I'm going to give credit where credit is due and tell you that the brothers look like an MVP candidate for most of this season. And when I look at Sam Darnold, I say to myself, okay, Seattle could win it all. They could. But so can the Rams. So can the Eagles. So can the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not sold on Denver because I don't trust their offense, but the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC has to go through the Mile High City, and that altitude might hurt teams in the second half. So we got to keep an eye on that. New England's the number 2 seed. Other than Denver, the road to the Super Bowl got to come through Foxborough. Vrabel's coaching them. This is a different team than it was last year. Jacksonville went from 4-13 to 13-4. So it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to touch on, but I just felt compelled to get into the Harbaugh situation because I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, you know what? What's all the fuss about? You know, people are acting like, you know what? You can't, you know, how could he lose his job? Simple. You got Lamar Jackson. You can't win. And by the way, let me make people uncomfortable. I don't know this. I don't coach the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't cover the Baltimore Ravens. I got something to tell y'all, though. Obviously, I'm a connected individual. I've been in this business for over 30 years. Walking around in this business, I get intel. It's a given. And with Lamar Jackson, it's no different. Let me tell you what I've been hearing about Lamar Jackson. We all know he's a sensational player. As a talent, he's top 5 in the world. We know what Lamar Jackson brings to the table. But Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, along with Adam Schefter, for my family in the daytime, ESPN, along with others, have said they heard. Harbaugh pretty much lost the locker room. His words were falling on deaf ears. They weren't resonating as much anymore. That's on Harbaugh. It's also on Lamar Jackson. You are the leader. You are the franchise. They're going to flow with you. Players ain't excited. What's going on with Lamar? You hearing stuff about him skipping Saturday practices or showing up late? You hearing stuff about him eating fast foods in meetings? Coming across as unfocused, and because you let him act that way and live that way all of these years, it was hard to tell him something new now because he's ultra talented and he's holding your future in his hands, because stars do that. They have that kind of cachet. They hold stuff in their hands. So we got to think about all of that, pay attention to all of that, and understand what's going on. Lamar Jackson is not innocent in all of this. And one thing's for certain, if Lamar Jackson didn't want John Harbaugh gone, if he was adamant about John Harbaugh staying on board, John Harbaugh would still be there. That's just a fact. So we got to look at it from that standpoint, and we got to say what it is. So the next coach that comes in, how are you going to resonate with Lamar Jackson? Oh, bigger question. Should Lamar Jackson be heavily involved in deciding, along with Baltimore Ravens management, who the next head coach of the Ravens is going to be? I'd say yes. You can look at Lamar Jackson and what he's going to count against Baltimore's cap and stuff like that, and that's a worthy discussion as well. But the reality is he ain't going anywhere. The last seven games of the season, there were empty seats in M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Harbaugh was getting booed when they got blown out by Houston, when they gave up a double-digit lead to New England. Last 12 minutes of the game, Derrick Henry don't touch the ball. Now, how that makes sense. Scott Todd Monken, your offensive coordinator, he'll be gone too. They ain't keeping him. So you got to look at all of that. But here's the big question. If you're the Baltimore Ravens, considering the cap hit, it's over $74 million that Lamar Jackson is going to count against Baltimore. Baltimore's expected to have about $37 million or so in cap space, but the bottom line is Lamar Jackson is going to count for a lot. How long do you go on before you look at a talent like Lamar Jackson and decide to move on from him and get an abundance of assets in return for his services? Or do you look at the fact that when he was out, missed four games for you this year, there were adjustments that needed to be made? Do you move forward with Lamar Jackson because you absolutely positively believe in him? My answer would be yes. I'm not letting go of Lamar Jackson by a damn sight. He's too big time. I'm not letting him go. But other people might be differently. How you feel? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. These are legitimate questions because the Baltimore Ravens are thinking about these things. And this is football, the world of a hard cap. So we got to think about all of those things and decide. What's in the future for the Baltimore Ravens? What's in the future for the NFL playoffs as things unfold? What teams with openings should be looking at John Harbaugh, Kevin Stefanski, or some other name? All of these things are issues that need to be broached, and I'm here for it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls and more in a minute. Plus, Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swag Goo, my brother from ESPN. He'll be on next with yours truly right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.